kindness. We thank you for your grace that is so much better than words. And so, Lord, today we look to you to speak to our hearts. We look to you to open our understanding as we trust you by faith to help us and to speak to us and to educate us in matters concerning you and your kingdom and your heart for the church. Bless us today, Lord, as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Revelation chapter 3, starting in verse 7. And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Church of Philadelphia. It says, the one that's speaking is holy and true. Only God is holy. And only God is true. Holy is hagios. It means sacred, blameless. It's consecrated. That's consecrated all the time. There's no time that he's not consecrated. There's no time that he's not sacred. There's no time that he's not blameless. True is althenos, means to be real. It's ideal, a genuine truth. There is no lie in this. He is true. Now, you and I are only holy and true on an off and on basis. Typically, it's more off than on. But we're off and on with this. Sometimes we can walk in holiness, and sometimes we kind of slip off to the side. But God is holy. That is, only God is holy and sacred and blameless and consecrated. And only God is true. That means he's real. He's ideal. That means he's genuine. And he's like this all the time. Jesus is the ultimate key holder. He mentioned about having the key to David. He's the ultimate key holder. He locks and he unlocks according to his own will, not man's. We can't tell God what to do. He does what he wills to do. We can't boss him around. We can't command God to do this. We can ask, but he has the key. A key is an emblem of authority. Jesus has authority. No man can open what he shuts, and no man can shut what he opens. When he does it, it's a done deal. And when I see that, I think about the ark. Noah built that ark, and they say he preached, I think, 120 years, and the people mocked him, and they would not believe him. But when the time came, the Bible says that God shut the door of the ark. Now, that's different. If Noah had shut the door of the ark and the people came knocking and begging for help, he probably would have opened it. But God shut that door, and it's like, can't do it. That's the judgment of God now. You guys got to deal with this. And so the throne of David, that this scripture is talking about, he has the key to the throne of David. The book of Luke 1:30-32, there's an account here of the angel Gabriel And what he did, he was talking to Mary, the mother of Jesus. She was not at the time. And he linked David to Jesus, to David. And the angel said in verse 30, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, but thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David. So the church in Philadelphia is the most complimented church of all of the churches. I mean, the ideal church. If you want to be a good church, look at the Church of Philadelphia, mm-hmm. because the Lord complimented the Church of Philadelphia. He didn't do so bad with the first church, Ephesus, but there were some issues with Ephesus. But this is the most complimented church of them all. He said that he was familiar with them. He recognized what they were doing. Jesus knew what was going on in that church. He was watching this Church of Philadelphia. But guess what? He's watching all churches. Churches, the church belongs to Jesus, not to you and not to me. He watches all churches. He knows what's going on. We're not pulling anything over on him. He knows what's going on. And we was laughing coming to work. One lady went to another gathering. I don't know that it was a church. And said, well, we sang too. I said, well, yeah, we sung last night. Well, what did you sing? Well, hey, look me over. Da, 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 da. Wait a minute, that's not no church song. But, you know, they have their gathering. But there are a lot of places around. And, you know, we were just talking, coming in. And folks can get together and they can call it church. And don't talk about sin. Don't talk about Jesus. Don't talk about salvation. Don't talk about getting saved. There's a man that wrote a book that tells you how, you know, God wants you to have the greatest things in life. And understand, he did not mention the cross one time. Did not mention salvation one time in the whole book. So if God wants things to go so good for me, why is the good news not in that book? So I don't know how the Lord is going to deal with that, but, you know, it should be in the book. But they were the most complimented in that church. Imagine Jesus paying us a compliment. New Life, I know your works. I know how you've struggled. I know what you've gone through. I saw when you had that yard sale. I knew what y'all were trying to do. You were trying to maintain and keep the doors open. And I blessed you for it. And I hope he has good compliments for us. I really do. Y'all, we struggle. Okay?
Amen.
But it's a beautiful struggle. As long as you're struggling, it's a beautiful struggle. When you're not struggling, it's ugly. Because you've given in. And I'm going to just do this. But as long as we're struggling, we're in a battle. And it's a beautiful, beautiful struggle to do what the Lord wants. Verse 8 of Revelation 3. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. When a welcome visitor comes to your door in your house, rings the doorbell and knocks on the door, when you see who that person is, what you do is you step aside and say, come on in. But they coming in through that door. And it's through the door that we enter, and it's through the door that we leave and that we exit. Jesus was saying, because you have kept my word, or because you have lived by and performed my word and stood openly for my name, I have opened a door for you. Now remember, he mentions opening a door, but earlier he said that he had a key. So he had a key which fit this door that he set before the particular church. All the pieces come together. And so he has this open door. it's not been said for any of the other churches. Any of the other churches so far, it has not been said that I have opened a door for you of any of the other ones. This is the only one where he says, I have opened the door for you. I love it personally when doors for ministry open, because all you got to do is walk through. You don't have to push. You don't have to knock. You don't have to make any kind of ruckus or anything. When the doors open, you just walk through. And to me, that's the best way to go, is that a door opens. I have in the past pushed and knocked on doors. Mm-hmm. So tragic. We're nothing but headache after headache after headache. Mm. The one time I said, you know what, Lord, no more will I knock or push on any door. If you open it, I'll go through. But only, Lord, if you open the door. And so he opens doors. He's been opening doors. But he also closed doors too. We got to be ready for that also. He opens doors and he closed doors. When we were going over to Chattahoochee on the radio station, it was an open door. I enjoyed it. But after a while, he shut it. I ain't like that. Things going good, Lord. Things going good. He's like, you're done. You're done. Was it 6 months, 3 months, maybe 3 or 6 months or something that we were going and preaching on the airwaves. And it was just that amount of time. He opened it and then it closed just as quickly as it opened. So, yeah, it's time for me to not go over there anymore, because if I do, I don't have the kind of covering that I had when I was doing it according to his will. So when he shuts a door, you just accept it and just move on to the next place, to the next thing that he has for you. He said, they kept his word, have kept my word and not denied my name. And it indicates that this church had faith, and that the church that he was talking to had been challenged by those in its environment and those in its surrounding. This church had been challenged. It had been challenged because of the way they live. It had been challenged because of the stand that they took in the community. That's why he's saying, you kept it. You kept it because that church had been challenged. Folks were challenging them and pressing them to not do this. And they were also challenged regarding the name of Jesus. They were challenged, but they also did not deny his name. And so he's highly complimentary of a church that will keep his word, as you said earlier, and that will keep his name and not deny his name. Because it's easier to not keep his word in this environment and to deny his name, because there, come on then, come on now, you're part of us. But it is a challenge for you to walk in the word, which would pretty much be contrary to the world, and to walk in his name and represent him wherever you are. It's a challenge, but he's complimentary, and it makes him happy to see someone who's willing to take that kind of hit for his word and for his name. It doesn't appear that Philadelphia was a church even large in number, that it wasn't probably not even a very large church. It's obvious, though, that it was large in faith. And that's what's important, that your faith is large and not just the numbers. So that's a good thing, and that's a great thing that came out of my study. Men look on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. Amen. And we have to remember that and not try to compare what others have or what things look like in other places. They had large faith. The testimonies that were given this morning, these were testimonies of faith. These were testimonies against what society says. Testimonies against accomplished medical professions that said, that's it. We've done all we can. This man is not going to be here after tomorrow. But my brother said, you don't know my God. You don't know my God. And to do what you did and to stand up to the professionals and say, okay, now I'm going to the great physician now, and we'll see what he has to say about what you just said. And so now the man that's supposed to be dead and probably buried by now is in rehab. He's rehabbing. Can't shut him up. He's talking. He's running his mouth. You know? So thank God for that. And see, I love that. And I love that God will be complimentary of that kind of faith. Because you had to pray in Jesus' name. And so you out there calling Jesus' name over this so-called dead man, as they said, who now still lives. Now, we all must die one day, but that was not his day to die. There was a day to get a testimony, and you need to share that testimony. You don't have to be, you know, braggadocious about it, but all you're doing is just giving glory to what God has done for you and for your family. And that's why he gives us a testimony, so that we can share it with others. The Bible says they overcame them by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Sometimes all you've got is your testimony to what God has done for you. Otherwise, folks won't hear anything about Jesus. But when you show and tell them what he did for you, you got people's attention. People are listening. Hebrews tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God.
Amen.
Impossible to please God without faith. And so that's very important. Their little strength that God mentioned, that they have a little strength, made it all the more wonderful that they only had a little strength, because it would give the Lord more to work with and to be glorified through. Because of your little strength, that means when God does something big, it won't be you doing it. God will get the glory when you have a little strength. You don't need a whole lot. The Bible says that you will have just the faith the size of a mustard seed, the tiniest seed known, or maybe there are some smaller, but it's a very small seed. And so the only amount of faith required is mustard seed, little faith, but it must be authentic faith. It must be real faith, and it must be faith in the right one. Not faith in faith, but faith in him. 1 Corinthians 1:27 and 29 says, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. You see what he chose? The foolish things. The things that are weak. The things that are not. To bring to nothing the things that are. This is what God chose. So rejoice. Rejoice. I'm not a highly educated man. I went to college, but I'm not highly educated. Mm-hmm. I didn't graduate summa cum laude. I didn't come out with all A's. I could have, but I was busy doing other things. And so I'm not a highly educated man. I'm greatly educated in God because he teaches me. But as far as worldly education, not that at all. So Revelation 3:9 says, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, to know that I have loved thee. Now, the remnant of Israel that was to be saved was already saved by now when this particular scripture and this particular situation is being given to John. Because John was exiled already to the Isle of Patmos. And so the persecution had pretty much started. That was an ongoing persecution of the church, and it was obvious what was going on. And so the persecution was going on. The saved Jews started from those recorded in Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2. And so the first church was a Jewish church on the day of Pentecost. And so that's when it started, even up until the time that we're reading here in the book. All of the Jews that got saved are right here and reported here, even in the Revelation. And all of the Jews that got saved from the book of Acts up until this point had left the synagogue. They were not in the Jewish synagogue anymore. It was a done deal. They had given up the law as a means of salvation and sanctification. They were no longer in that. Those that continued in the synagogue were now a false religion, because Jesus came and he established a new covenant. And so those that insisted on continuing the synagogue worship were now worshiping a false religion, because Jesus, a Jew, came and completed and fulfilled all of the law. And he came when he completed and fulfilled all of the law. He established a new covenant and a new way. And so there were those that insisted that the Messiah hadn't come and they're going to continue to work. That was a false religion now. It was a false belief, because God had changed how he does everything in Christ. And so when he talks about the synagogue of Satan and the synagogue, he said, this is no longer so. It's no longer true. But they were still persecuting of the church. They had given up the ones that did get saved, they had given up the law. And those that continued in the synagogue, they were a false religion. Paul wrote in Romans 9:6, "For they are not all Israel which are of Israel." So just because they may have been born as an Israeli doesn't make them a spiritual Israelite, as God now requires. He considered a true Israelite to be one who had turned to Christ. One who had turned to Christ. And so there were many that had not turned to Christ. He says they're not real Israelites anymore, because now it's the ones who have accepted the Messiah. Jesus had a discussion going one time, a very heated discussion. Up until reading this, I thought Jesus was a very passive kind of a person, you know. And I read this, it's like he's arguing. He's giving it back to him, you see. And he's not passive at all. A very heated discussion with the Jews of his time. He said to them, he said that your father is the devil. And you do what your father tell you to do. That's what he was telling them. Your father the devil. I say, wow, that's bold. Now, those fighting words there. I mean, your father, in John 8:44, he says, your father is the devil. That's what he said to the Jews. There were those who wanted to, the church in Philadelphia, they wanted them to deny the name of Jesus, like a lot of people do. They want you to deny the name of Jesus. I don't know why it is that when someone finds out that you're a Christian, they go all crazy and get mad and start acting strange. It's what I believe. What? Why? Why are you doing this? And they get mad and they cut the fool, and then they say things and they do things and they go and start talking and pointing at you only because you believe in Jesus. It's like, well, what do you believe in? But it is amazing. Just a belief in Jesus. And they'll say, there's nothing to that. There's nothing to your religion. Nothing to your Jesus. Why are you upset if there's nothing to it? Why are you acting like you're acting if there's, if there's nothing to it? You should just move on if there's nothing to it. But you know there's something to it. That's why you're upset. That's why you're acting like you're acting. But folks really get bent out of shape when they find out that you're a Christian. And it's the most amazing thing to me. And it's my belief. I believe in Jesus. So I guess you better than me. You know, you never say that. You never say I'm better than you. Because, listen, I die like everyone else dies. If you cut me, I bleed. If you hit me, I hurt. If you scratch me, I need to put something on it. I have a physical body like everyone else. It's continually just the same. Except for one thing, I have a belief. And I live a spiritual life that's different than anyone else. It's the internal me that I'm talking about. The external me, I'm the same as everyone else. Externally, I'm the same as everyone else. If you cut me, I bleed. If you push me, I might fall. I'm no different. It's the inside. It's what I believe on the inside. And it is so amazing how they want you to stop believing in Jesus. Why? Because it's dumb. It's stupid. Why does it bother you? It's my belief. Why are you bent out of shape? I'm not bothering you. I'm not bothering you. You asked that it came up, and I just said, this is me. I'm looking to go home to be with the Lord.
Oh, the Lord.
There's something to this, y'all. There's something, and it's really deep. And there are those around us that want us to deny the name of Jesus. They refuse to believe in Jesus. And they refuse to accept and believe his gospel. How hard is it to say, yes, Lord, I accept your good news. I accept the gospel. People fight to not do that. They will grab a hold of that pew, and you can see them struggling. You know, and something stirring inside, but they, no, I'm not going to do it. Man, you're fighting against yourself and you're fighting against God. Don't you realize God is speaking to your heart right now and saying, come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, come on. And they'll fight it and fight it. No, what will my friends think of me? Well, they won't think highly of you. I promise you that. Oh, no, another holy roller. Another fanatic. Thank you. I consider that a compliment when they say that. It's like a thank you. That's a compliment. Appreciate that. They worship, you know, when they worship these at the synagogue there, and say they claim to be Jews. But you know what? The ones in this particular set of scripture, Jesus called them imposters. Mm-hmm. They were imposters. And at their place of worship, he called the synagogue of Satan. The synagogue of Satan. Why? Because they denied the name of Jesus. They denied the Messiah. And again, we can go to many places today where they say that they accept the name. But just look around and you know that it's not so. You know that it's not so. And if you find yourself in a place like that, I have one word of instruction. Run!
Amen.
Get out, man. Because they're coming to get you too. They're gonna incorporate you in their practices. Whatever that is. Oh, by the way, when a man walks into one of these places, these women already got him located. They're making plans when they watch. They don't say nothing, but they're making plans. I walked in my first church. A lady said, that's my husband. And I looked down at my ring. I'm like, well, what about my wife? The Lord just sent me my husband. Wow. Just like that. Okay. You know, he made a promise to this church, the church in Philadelphia. One day he would make those imposters bow down and worship at the feet and to know that Jesus loved the very church that those imposters persecuted, that they rejected. He's going to cause the imposters to come down and bow down at your feet. If you keep his name, if you keep his word, you're going to watch these fake places and those that worship in places of Satan, because if it's not for Jesus, it's for Satan. There's only one true religion, and that's Christianity. He said, oh, that's a mouthful. Wow, man, hold. Thanks a lot. So you're just leaving everyone else out. Well, talk to Jesus about it and read the word, because that's true. There's only one way. That Jesus said there's only one way to the Father. And no man comes to the Father but by me. Amen. One way. So all these other ways, as great as they may sound, will not get you to the Father. And that's the ultimate end that we want. We want to be with the Father. Even today, the world denies the name of Jesus. You know what they say? Happy holidays.
Amen.
Not Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
That's denying the name of Christ, because Christ is in Christmas. They deny. Happy holidays. And you know what? They'll use BCE, which is before the common era, rather than BC, which is before Christ. You know, in readings, if you read, you'll see that when they talk about time and the separation of time, they're now starting to use BCE, before the common era, rather than before Christ.
Mm-hmm.
They're denying the name of Christ.
Wow.
Yes. Some of the older ones, older manuscripts is BC. But these are more modern things. You'll see it. BCE. Go home and Google BCE. And it says before the common era. That's leaving Christ out. They're denying his name. They don't even want to. They don't want anything to do with him. Verse 10 of Revelation 3 says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. The patience spoken of here in this verse is what the church of Philadelphia was highly praised for, which was they kept his word, they kept the word of the Lord, and they did not deny his name. Listen. Two things gain the Lord's compliments. Keep his word and don't deny his name. That's simple. There's not a whole long list of do's and don'ts, and don't smoke, don't drink, don't this, don't that. Keep his word and don't deny his name. That's what they said. Now it might encompass a whole bunch of things, but when you get there, you know if it violates the word. You know if it's in violation of the word. Well, in order to keep his word, I need to go a different direction, or I don't need to be involved in that. Keep his word and don't deny his name. That's basically. It's seen in how they maintain their integrity. They maintained it. And it was even through persecution. And at the same time, they were patiently waiting for the return of the Lord. They maintained their integrity because they were expecting the Lord to come. He promised to keep them safe and shield them from what he calls the hour of temptation. The hour of temptation, which was to come upon the whole world. Why? Because they remained faithful to him by keeping his word and not denying his name. I'm going to keep you safe from the hour of temptation, or the hour of trial. The hour of trial, or the tribulation period, will be worse and the worst than the destruction of a 9.0 earthquake. The tribulation. It will be a time of hell on earth, if you will, with famine and natural disasters, epidemic sickness, war and murder, this great tribulation. Worse than a 9.0 earthquake a tsunami which never before seen, waves of 20 feet, large waves, 20 feet high. With the devastation of a Category 5 hurricane and the carnage of multiple terrorist bombs, this tribulation period, airplanes crashing into buildings, disaster after disaster, diseases, runaway diseases without cures, and many other unimaginable events during this time. You know, there's one scripture in Revelation that we haven't got to. It says that men will seek death, and death will flee from them. They will not be able to die. Fall on us and hide us from the face of this great God. And they would try to kill themselves, and death would evade them. They would not die. Would not be a good time to take a handful of opioids. All you're going to do is you're going to come to a certain point of the destruction of the opioids. When you come up to the time to die, you're going to just lay there, throwing up and whatever else you do, and doing that kind of thing. Can you imagine a man taking a 357 Magnum and taking it and putting it in his mouth and pulling the trigger? Blam! Fall down, and he's still breathing. But now he ain't got no head. half a head. You know? Imagine. Time to die, and death goes, I have not been allowed to touch you. I cannot touch you. Please, please, I can't touch you. Can you imagine a person taking a large knife and cutting through their wrist and through to the bone where they're scraping on the bone? And the blood goes, geeks out. And they go weak, and they fall on the ground, and all the blood is gone. And when it comes time to die, death says, I can't do that. I can't take you. And now they lay there, not lifeless, with no strength, but they won't die. Part of the tribulation that we are going to miss. That's the good news. That we are going to miss. And I'm just drawing some scenarios that I'm making up as I go. Y'all, it's worse than what I'm saying. There are a whole lot more that's coming during that period. There are a whole lot more creatures that come that we've never seen that are going to do things and be doing things. There are circumstances where a third of the water will be turned to blood. And you know, the green life will die off. And you know, the sun will refuse to give us, you know, you got no sun, you got no life. And all of this tribulation, this is what he's promised to keep them from. You know why? Because they kept his word and they did not deny his name. They walked and lived by faith and patience, waiting for the coming of the Lord. Now, we have our issues, y'all. Things do get bad, but we keep trusting God anyway. It's like, boy, I sure blew that, but Lord, I trust you.
Amen.
I might have done that, but I'm not letting you go. I'm not going to turn loose. I'm not going to turn my back on you, Lord. Yeah. That is patience and walking by faith. Why? You keep his word and you do not deny his name. Thank God for the rapture of the faithful church, which will not participate in the tribulation. Some think that the church will experience the first half of the tribulation. Some people believe that. Some people think that we're going to go through the whole tribulation, all 7 years. The first half is like 3.5 years. Some think that the church is going to go through all 7 years, and then others think that we'll be raptured out before the tribulation starts. I believe that the faithful will not participate in the tribulation at all. And we have biblical scriptures to support that. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 tells us But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. So he has not appointed us to wrath. The tribulation is a time of God's wrath. But Jesus took our wrath.
Amen.
And if we accepted him, then we are complete in him. There are five reasons for the rapture. One is to resurrect the deceased Christians, because many Christians have died and gone on. And so that's one reason for the rapture. It's to protect the church from wrath, from the wrath of God. It's to judge Christians for rewards. We get rewards. We don't get judged and beat down and everything. It's to give Christians a glorified body like Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We're going to have a new body, man. This earthly tabernacle is going to be changed. And we are going to be like him.
Yeah.
No more dying. No more hurt. No more cold. No more heat. No more problems. No more lying. No more trickery. Because we still lie. Y'all know that, right? Amen. Y'all, we still have some problems with that. Y'all.
Oh.
Amen. I know. It's not good news. But after a while, we're going to be changed, so we won't be able to lie, because the Bible says God cannot lie.
Amen.
We're going to be like him, y'all.
Amen.
That's a good thing. Glorified bodies, to present the church to Jesus for marriage. We are going to marry Jesus.
Amen.
We are engaged, y'all.
Oh, yeah.
To a wonderful man. And his name is Jesus.
Jesus.
And he's going to marry. How he's going to do it, I don't know, but I don't care. I have said yes, and he has given me the engagement ring called the Holy Spirit. And I proudly wear his ring.
Amen.
And I'm glad to be called by his name. So we'll close here today. We're not going to make it through this whole thing. I think it's a bit much to push beyond this point, because there's a lot in this scripture. Now, this study is changing me. I hope that it's changing you. I hope that you hear some things that are really shaking you. It's really, really having quite an impact on me. You know, since 1980, I've been reading the scriptures, but I've never studied through the book of Revelation like this. I've never gone verse by verse. I got one study, I got two study helps. I'm not listening to everybody's. I tried that. It don't work listening to this one preach about Revelation, listen to that one. That doesn't work, because everyone teaches and preaches in their own way.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is my way from the research that I've done. And listen, I'm only hitting the high points. I'm only hitting the high points because I'm not deep enough, you know, go to the deep stuff. But y'all, all we need is the high points at this point. And the high points is pretty high, you know, and they're pretty heavy, these things that we're getting. And after this, we got the rest of this particular church next week, and then we'll go into the Church of Laodicea, which is called the Church of the Will of the People, which is pretty ugly. And then we'll probably see where the rapture takes place and then go on from there. But appreciate y'all coming. Appreciate seeing you. And praise God for his wonderful grace. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you for your word today, Lord. And we just pray that you're happy with how this is going. And do help me and help us, Lord, to speak and hear the truths that you have for us. Do bless us, Lord, and help us, Lord, to fall in line with the directions that you're giving us, that we will know, Lord, based upon what we're seeing here in this Church of Philadelphia, what truly pleases you. And that's a church and a person who will keep your word and not deny your name under any circumstance. So we depend on you to help us. We walk by faith and not by sight. We love you, Lord, because you first loved us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.